A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 15 through 19. Listen for God's word. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? The word of the Lord.
Our second reading this morning comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Listen now for God's word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. God of new things, we give you thanks this day for the presence of your Spirit in and through us. As your word is preached, O Lord, let our hearts and minds be opened, that your message for us would fill us and send us forth to do your will. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I come before you this morning to make a confession. And that confession is this: I don't always like change. Especially if it's not my idea. Indeed, I expect that, like many of you, I like what's familiar, what's known, the patterns and the schedules that I can count on. It brings me all kinds of internal comfort and peace to have a sense of the certainty of the schedule of a day as I go about getting up and coming to work and going home. Which is why going on this most recent pilgrimage was a real stretch for me. You see, unlike the previous trips I have taken with youth from this church, this particular pilgrimage, which we deemed the grand adventure, well, it stretched me. And I will tell you that I was more than a little anxious when I learned that at the very heart of this trip, we would be camping in yurts. I mean, I like the comfort of a real bed. I like electricity and refrigeration and a daily shower in a bathroom with a door. And yet, truth be told, for all of my anxiety and worry about spending almost a week in these rather rustic conditions, I admit, it wasn't awful. In fact, I think I would say it changed me for the better. and for good. I learned, for instance, that I can live off boiled coffee, thank you, Dick Redding, and instant oatmeal. I learned that no one really cares if I wear mascara. I learned that community is formed over games of Uno and shared snacks and bug spray. I learned that it's formed on trails and in large vans and without technology. I learned that communion elements of rather stale sourdough bread and huckleberry lemonade served in a Grand Teton coffee cup around a campfire are as sacred as fresh bread. And grape juice served in a silver chalice in a cathedral. I learned that the ways I had done pilgrimage before couldn't be replicated in a campground. And most importantly, I learned that in letting go and leaning in to a new way of doing and being is where God does God's best work. And it was profound, and it was a gift, for which I say on behalf of all of us leaders and youth, thank you. Thank you. I imagine that the early church that we read about in the book of Acts was in the process of learning a similar lesson about new ways of doing and being. After all, it was a community of faith that had been used to a pattern, a way of doing things for generations. I expect they had a sense of comfort in the order and the process and the shape of worship and community. They knew from all of those generations what to expect. We read in Luke's account of the early church a rather enthusiastic description of a transitional time, a time as the Jewish practices of old were coalescing with new beliefs and new members and new leadership into a new way of life. We are given in the book of Acts a picture of a community in process, a process of maturing, of developing, of creating a new culture, a new ethos, a new way. Indeed, in the space of their common ground, these faithful followers and new believers found a place to share life together with one another, to tell stories, to welcome strangers, to break bread together, and to build a community of love and support. Luke conveys, I think, rather well, the promise and the momentum of this new reality in that description. And when he makes reference to the signs and wonders that were part of this new thing, we can only imagine what they were witness to as evidence of transformation made possible by this new indwelling of the presence of the Spirit, the grace of God, and the faith of God's people. In his commentary on the book of Acts, Willie James Jenkins writes this: "The Spirit's power to draw people into such a sacred sociality is what happens when a holy wind blows through the structured, settled ways we have and pulls things apart. Just as I express to you my way of being resistant sometimes to change, I find myself relating to the people and members of the community in the book of Acts who were on the verge of experiencing something new in this wondrous burgeoning of God's church. I imagine that they might have found themselves comfortable with imagining what the blessings of this new thing were going to bring to them. You know, this is a really important day in the life of our community. And I have for several days been feeling this sort of electric tingle of excitement as we came closer to this day. Here we are, gathered in this place, eagerly on the edge of a new beginning with Dorothy, with each other, and with God. It would be easy for us to take a step back, to sit back and watch, to see what wondrous things Dorothy might do as the leader of this new thing, and see ourselves as the recipients of all that we believe is on its way through her. But this morning, I want to invite us to take a step into another set of folks who are important in this story. I want to challenge us to imagine that we are the disciples in this burgeoning community. I want to ask these questions: what if? What if we consider ourselves those who have been called by Jesus and empowered by the Spirit to lead and inspire and create radical and hopeful change in the lives of others? What if each of us believes that we, our actions, our missions, our spiritual-filled leadership is also necessary in this endeavor? What if we weren't spectators, but partners in this calling? What if we saw ourselves as colleagues in this ministry and community, side by side with Dorothy and with each other in this mission? What if? Only a few weeks ago, I stood with a group of our youth before this congregation as they made their public profession of faith and as they affirmed their own commitment to membership in the life of this church. As part of that liturgy, one of the questions I asked them was this: will you devote yourself to the church's teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers? Embedded in that question is a promise to join with others in the life and ministry of God's church here in this place. When we say yes, I will devote myself to the corporate and communal life we share in Jesus, we confirm that we are disciples of Christ together, called to be co-creators with God in the unique and wonderful ministry of Westminster Presbyterian Church in Charlottesville, Virginia. You and I, we believe that God is about to do a new thing here, something that will move us beyond what has been, beyond the obvious, beyond the regular, beyond the way we've always done it. We are heading into something different, something refreshing, something exciting, something beyond what we have known, another future, beyond our past, beyond our comfort, and dare I say, beyond our wildest dreams. It feels like a turning point. Do you not perceive it? And so, beloved, let us lean into this new thing, the place where God does God's best work, to be on the lookout for signs and wonders, markers of God's ceaseless, miraculous, ongoing action in us and through us. Let us move ahead toward what is already on the way, confident in the mercy of God, trusting in God's unfailing faithfulness, and anticipating God's sometimes surprising, always breathtaking grace. We can face the future that lies before us with assurance because we believe that our God does new things in old places. And so I ask you, are you ready? Are you ready to let go and lay a hold upon the future that God has for this place with faith? There is a new direction born of this time. Let us be a people who yield the Spirit, for now is the moment, and here is the place. Hallelujah. Amen.